Please join me in the prayer of illumination. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminate our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and Savior, we pray. Amen. Today's scripture is found in Psalm 121, Assurance of God's Protection, a Song of Ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Brother in Christ. And, you know, as I was sitting there, I was listening to him. I enjoy my brother as a liturgist and his family, my sisters in Christ. But I'm just thinking about myself. I wonder if that's the first time that the bakery put on a cookie, I'm blessed. I was just kind of thinking about that. Maybe. Join with me. We thank you, Lord, for how you speak through your living word and how it speaks into our lives. That's humbling. All the time, you're speaking into our lives. Not simply when we hear the scripture, but at all times. Keep us open. Help us to be able to embrace that truth. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Judy and I have three dogs. They're all rescues, and we think rescue dogs are probably the best. They're mutts, in essence, also. But technically, the breeds fall in this order. First of all, there's Butterbean. And Butterbean is called Butterbean. My wife came up with all the names, by the way. Butterbean is called Butterbean because she's the color of a Butterbean, okay? And she's a miniature golden doodle. Then there is Patches, who's a Shih Tzu. And I actually believe that she's a different kind of breed, an attack Shih Tzu. And I'll get more into that in just a second. And then we have a little Yorkie Terrier that my wife calls Lulu, and I call her Hurricane Lulu. Sometimes God's smallest creations stir up the most trouble, don't they? No question about it. They're the orneriness. Don't point at the person next to you. I got it. I'm picking them all out right now in the congregation right now. The Shih Tzu. Patches. You know, Patches will look up into your eyes. Anybody that's had a Shih Tzu knows what I'm talking about. Or any sort of dog as a pet, part of your family, looks up into your eyes and has those big brown eyes and such a sweet disposition, and I get closer and closer, then all of a sudden she bites me on the nose. That's why I say she's an attack Shih Tzu. She's ready at any moment to go ahead and attack. And all of our dogs have certainly become part of our family. And, you know, Patches, in fact, has become part of our family and has shown her great intelligence, because whenever Butterbean is up in my lap, and she's not a lap dog, okay, but she thinks she's it. She's up in my lap, she's laying there, and Patches wants her to get down. Patches gets one of Butterbean's favorite toys, squeaks it until Butterbean gets off my lap, then Patches jumps on my lap. I kid you not, and Judy and I watched this whole comedy play out in front of us. So anybody that says they're stupid, dumb animals has never had one in their life, never had to deal with one. And we think about our dogs, and we understand that we have a responsibility to take care of them, okay? They're not simply objects, things we own. They become part of the home, part of the family, if you will. And we have a responsibility for taking care of them, for keeping them, if you will. God is our keeper. Now, does that mean we're all just a bunch of rescues? Well, maybe, actually, whenever you think about it, that probably fits. Does that mean that we're all, you know, just ready to look at God in the eyes and look so sweet, then all of a sudden bite him in the nose? Maybe that'll preach also. Yeah. But more so, it means that God, and it initiates with God, it doesn't really initiate with us, it initiates with God that God is our keeper. And this is something that stretches people. Not only does it stretch people, but especially in our society, it can be something that confronts people at their very core. We have something called a self-made man or self-made woman. That's something that's part of the lore and quote-unquote history of our country. And yet, as Christians, we understand, and this is what confronts us, that there's no such thing. Okay? There's no such thing as somebody just completely making it on their own. It doesn't work. And our Christian theology, our theology of the cross, but more so how Christ lived and taught, points us in the direction to understand that we are dependent on God. Now maybe that's the second part of it that kind of confronts you. Not only are you not self-made because you've relied on other people, we're in this together, but you also are dependent on God. That also kind of confronts you as well. Well, no, I don't need anyone, or maybe even your prayer life has gone like this. God, please, 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 help me, help me, help me, help me. Come on, God, please, please, please. Oh, great. Okay, I'll see you later, God. Maybe it's been like that. That's okay. Know that even when we say, I'll see you later, God, who continues to be at work? God. Always and already. You know that church sign that I'd mentioned at the very beginning in our time of announcements? I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's God as well. God at work in ways that we can't even imagine and sustaining us and supporting us, even when we don't realize it's God. I think that's probably one of the most surprising things. If you ever had one of those epiphanies where you looked back in your life and you realized it was God at work in a particular way or in a particular section of the journey, or through a particular person, or through an incident. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that experience? And in those moments, you also realize, wow, I really am dependent on God, and that's okay. In fact, that's the message of this psalm. That very first question is something that affects and informs the rest of the psalm. From where will my help come? From where will my help come? We have all asked that question in one way or another, in one form or another. I wonder if I'm going to get this job. I wonder if this house is going to come through. I wonder if my loved one is going to come through surgery. I wonder, and then fill in the blank, from where will my help come? All of that that I just shared, and so many other questions, so many other ponderings that we have as God's people, as those who are created, so many situations, so many times and places, we have put forward that question. Sometimes just in our own hearts. And sometimes it comes forward, that question, I should say, at a time when we feel the weakest, when we feel like the obstacle in front of us is insurmountable or the greatest. For us, the answer always today and every day is this: my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What does the psalmist talk about here? Very clear imagery. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Let me go ahead and ask you a question, though. Has your foot ever fallen asleep? Do you want to move at that time, though? You want to kind of step it, and somebody asks you to get up, and it's tingling and all sorts of stuff like that? Yeah. Well, God helps us in our very movement, in the movement of life, in the movement that we seek to have as we follow God and follow God's direction in our lives. God is at work. You know, last night whenever I was watching the dancers and the gracefulness and the movement and the meaning behind the movement, and I was thinking that life is sometimes like a dance. You know, sometimes it's something very graceful. Sometimes it's like a polka. Sometimes it's a lot of different things, okay? But the dance that we have in our lives is something that God speaks into, works through, as a partner with us, okay? For us, in our very movement, we know there is one who does not take a coffee break, who doesn't sleep on the job, God. He will not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Verse 5, right at the very beginning. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, whenever Judy and I first moved to Arizona, okay, we learned a lot of different things. First of all, a nice cover on your steering wheel helps. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do I need to unpack that any further? First time you go and put your hands on, they melt to the steering wheel. The other thing is, whenever you have like a container for water or coffee or something, it's best not to have a metal one in your car and leave it there. Learn some other things. We also learned that whenever we went into the parking lot, especially in the summer, we could find a space right next to the store. You know why? Because everyone else is cuddled around the trees for any little inkling of shade or cover. Shade in the summer and in the sun, and especially in the sun in Yuma in the summertime, is wonderful. And some of us need more shade than others. So we want to keep those things covered up. We want to keep it covered up. You look for those things. God is our shade. God is our protection. This spoke into a very real circumstance and situation in the lives of those that would have been chanting this, would have been singing this. People would have been using this psalm who were on a journey. And so for them to be able to have a place where there was shade, where they could rest, for them to be able to have a place where they could get cooled down, they could be comfortable, that was at times a matter of life and death. So what does this psalm actually say? Our God is one that provides to us in the most important times, the life and death times in our lives. You know, I've noticed also that right now in Yuma, there is a lot of traffic heading other places. And oftentimes that traffic is a caravan, and that can be just one person. There's the RV, there's the toy hauler, there's the car that they drove, there's the other RV, you know what I'm talking about. There's a whole list of things that are heading out, and some of you might be kind of getting those things together. First of all, for those of you who are going to be heading on out, going to be heading out to other areas, we love you. God's blessings, safe travels, and until we meet again, we'll see you here. We'll see you back here next year. But for all of us who are on a journey, whether it be a physical journey, whether it be a spiritual journey, we're all on a spiritual journey, by the way, So that's not really weather. God is the one who is our keeper. God is the one who is our provider. But what happens? What happens whenever we come up to a time whenever God isn't providing in the way that we would like God to provide? Well, it gets back to that whole idea of God not necessarily being some sort of cosmic vending machine, that we choose what we want, we push the button, and God delivers it immediately in our time, sooner than later. As we understand that God is our keeper, we also understand that this is a two-way street. Certainly God provides, certainly God sustains, certainly God works in all those ways that are very easy to picture, aren't they, in this psalm. I think maybe that's one of the reasons why I love this psalm so much. There are ways that God works that are very easy to picture. But having a keeper is a two-way street. It works both ways. For all that we gain, and we gain a great deal trusting in God, we must first give ourselves to the one who offers the protection. In other words, we hand ourselves over to God completely. We gain protection, we gain grace, we gain love, we gain all of these things, but we lose a sense of total independence. In other words, this will be a challenge for those who seek to kind of be a lone wolf in their spirituality. That was something that whenever I first got into ministry, people warned me against being a lone wolf. And there are pastors that kind of tried to just do their own thing and not be part of the annual conference, or try to understand that we're in this together as colleagues in ministry. And, you know, it doesn't work if you just try to do your own thing. Certainly, God is at work in your life in a particular way, and in an intimate way, and in a specific way. But unless we understand that we are all in this together, and we're on this journey together, the church will not work. Be clear about that. It's a joy, isn't it, to know that we're not alone. We're in this together. You come here. You're part of a family. You come here. You understand that you're not alone. You come here, and there are reminders all around you of how God is speaking and working into your life. I had a very vivid reminder of God, my keeper, God, the one who I trusted in, who I counted on, years and years and years ago, whenever I was still serving a church back in Pennsylvania. And I'll just hit a couple of the most vivid memories for me. And the time whenever this psalm became God specifically speaking to Neil. My mom called me. This is years ago. My mom gave me a call and said, "Your dad's on the way to the hospital." We drove down there, and we'd just gotten there into the emergency room whenever they were packing him up, and I say literally packing him up, for a life flight to Shadyside Hospital in Pittsburgh, which is a world-renowned facility. And there was a lot of unknowing in my heart, but I tried to keep strong for my mom as her son and also as a pastor. We drove down, and one of those images as we were on that particular journey that still sticks up in my mind, as we were driving almost to Shadyside, we saw the life flight that was carrying my dad pass over us. We got to the hospital, and we just got to the surgeon right before he was heading in, and he shared those words that are somewhat startling whenever you hear them, whenever you hear them about a loved one. He said these words to us: "We'll see what we can do." I got my mom situated in the waiting room. There were folks from the church, that church that came and surrounded our family and surrounded me as their pastor. And as all, even whenever I was still trying to be the good son and the strong pastor, they were the ones brothers and sisters who ushered me out of the waiting room when everybody else was situated and took me to the chapel. And as I walked into that little chapel at Shadyside Hospital in Pittsburgh, it's not that big, but it's beautiful and intimate, and I looked under the wall, what I saw, what I read, were these words. I looked to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And that's about all that I could read, because at that point I started weeping, literally weeping. And I was surrounded in love. But as I read those words in calligraphy on that wall, it was a beautiful reminder that although I had no idea what was going to happen with my dad, I had no idea what the future held, I knew. And it became such an intimate thing for me, and so powerfully true for me. I knew who held the future. My dad survived that surgery. And then there was the unknowing about how he was going to be further on. And he turned out to be just fine. It was pretty miraculous. In fact, at the end of the week, the heart surgeon looked in on the waiting room and said to us, you know, it really wasn't me who was at work in that operating room. Still get chills about that. When we face challenges, it doesn't mean that it's always going to turn out the way we would like. It doesn't always mean that it's going to be an outcome that we would choose. But we do know this truth and this reality, my friends, when we're not sure what's going to happen, we have one who's keeping us, who's watching over us, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, who's at work in the very movement in our lives, who is at work in every breath that we have. God is at work in our lives, even when we're not aware of it. What a joy that is. What a powerful reality that is. And again, what a hope that is that we can count on and hold on to each and every day. I invite you to take a few moments with me to think about maybe the challenges that are in your life right now. Things that you're going through. Things that you don't really know the answer for. How can you hand those things over to God? How can you trust in the God who's already your keeper? Who is already at work in your life? How can you trust in that incredible love and grace even more today and tomorrow? Join with me.